I am Don Sherwood. I brought you a copy of my comments that you'll be glad to know it's less than a full page. Okay? And what I have also is one page from the appraisal that was done here in spring of 2009, which, remember, I told you at that time, we went through it, how that was a faulty appraisal. And Mark, when I spoke with him last week, said, please don't go through the whole thing again. What was wrong with the appraisal that was done? So I won't. I only have here on page 2 one paragraph from that appraisal which says, first of all, before...
Why are we discussing this?
Because of the Board of Zoning Board meeting.
But didn't we decide what we're doing with it?
Yeah, I guess... Well, you're entitled to speak.
No, I know, but what's the point? I mean, I thought this was, we're going to do it. We were ordered by the board.
Yeah, I am puzzled. There's been no change in policy. We're going forward. So, kind of preaching to the choir, I guess, is what we're asking.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to convince you of the value of the property too much. But I think it is important to recognize, we raised this question earlier, we have to spend $18,000 in order to give away this something of value.
And even if it has no value.
Even if it has no value.
Yeah,
exactly. I think it makes all the difference to the public to know that this is not something of value, as was stated at a zoning board meeting last Monday, that this was something of value. We had an appraisal of $200,000, and you did, of $200,000 value for this property. And now we're going to spend $18,000 to give away something worth $200,000. Therefore, that's a conflict between your fiscal austerity and your educational goals, and you have to, it's a conflict. And that conflict doesn't exist. That conflict does not exist because this has less than zero market value. And it is a constant drain on your resources day after year after year.
Mr. Sherwood?
Yes.
I mean, I think with all due respect,
yes,
we're going to pay the money. We're going to do it.
And, absolutely.
And we appreciate that if you're trying to, I gather maybe you're trying to protect us from some public comment or what have you.
Yes.
But we've been ordered by another governing body of this town to do something. No one is going to balk about it. I think Donna made a comment just out of like pure frustration, like, all right already, what else do you want from us? But we'll do it. We're going to do it.
Exactly.
So we're not standing in the way.
I appreciate that. As a parent, as a citizen, I care very much about what the public perception of the school district is and of the school board. And if they think, as they can, and if you understand perhaps, and maybe everyone, you know, some people are new here on the board, need to understand, and we need to never again say that we're giving away something of value, and it's costing us money to do so. What we're giving away is something that is a constant drain, as you very well know. Mothballing it, insuring it, you know, the repairs that need to be done year after year, decade after decade, in perpetuity, you know, forever. So the public needs to know this. As a member of the public, I'm here to say this, so that it is widely known.
Well, my comment had nothing to do with whether it had a value or not.
Yes.
It's very frustrating to add another $18,000 that we don't have to something.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's...
And I knew nothing about the sidewalk before the meeting last Monday night. I didn't know that it would be required. I knew nothing about it. I certainly was as taken back as anyone else. And I actually, as I told Mark just before the meeting started, talked to a contractor, brought them here, measured it, and yes, it's going to cost that much to put in. It's 425 feet at 4 feet wide, you know, $10 per square foot for concrete sidewalk. That's what it's going to cost. It's astonishing, and it's a shame. But as I say here, the roof is, some of those slates are being replaced by tin. That's how bad the roof is. You know the ceiling is eligible for the National Register. And there's already been partial damage to the roof, to the ceilings. So that roof, if you have to replace that roof, that's $35,000, $45,000. So, I mean, what you're looking at here is saving the district $27,000 by putting in that sidewalk. And the public needs to get that message. If they don't get that message, you have a perception problem. So, you know, I mean, that's how I see it. That's why I'm here. I think it's important that this that whoever represents you before the zoning board, when you go back there on January 24th, which is the same time that the board meeting is happening, not state, as has been stated twice this year, that you're giving away something.
Right.
When the school board's representatives say this in public, in the town hall.
Well, you've just said it three times.
Yes. But it's not the saying, it's the disproving of it. That's important. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying let's be quiet about this. Mm-hmm. I'm saying let's debunk it. You can't debunk it if you keep it quiet. And then pull it out of the closet whenever you want to use this token. So that's what I find frustrating, is that message is still out there.
I have a question.
Yes.
What will this be worth in 5 years? If you say it has no value now, 5 and 10 years from now, what will the value you estimate will be?
It's less than zero now. It's zero now. You have property that's not worth anything. It's only a drain on your resources or anyone's resources.
So 10 years from now, it will be worth less.
Well, let's see. The market is near.
I know there's a parcel of land in Secaucus that used to be worth nothing, and then they put the stadium on it.
Yeah.
Well, the point here, Gene, I think that he's making is the property is in need of repair. The reason it's underwater, yeah. It will always be worth nothing, at least in its present state, is it will cost more to repair it, perhaps, than its market value, I think is the point.
Not the repair alone, which would cost far more than the you know, I mean, depending on who you believe, what it would cost, it would be about $200 per square foot. This appraises as 3,400 square feet. Obviously, it's not. That would be $600,000 to renovate this place. No, it's, look, environmental easement that's on the site plan, archaeological covenant that's on the site plan, that is, as I said in my letter, you know, consider that something that might be like having an high-tension wire staged in your backyard reduces the value. That's not going away. The appraisal said that was going away. That's why I copied page 20 from the appraisal. She bolded it and underlined it. So there would be no restrictions on the nature of the renovations or remodeling of this property.
Don, just to
that's what I mean by fatally flawed.
Just to make something clear, as far as I know, I don't recall ever receiving one public comment against us donating. Have we received anything?
Yeah.
So I know you made the point about, you know, how the public perception for it.
Yeah, it's really important.
The board receives lots of negative comments about virtually everything and every decision we make. I can tell you this is one that I have never, ever, I don't recall anybody ever coming out against us donating the property, regardless of whether it does or doesn't have any perceived value. So there's really not an issue here. You have no public perception issue. Everybody's in favor of turning this into museum.
No, not everybody's in favor.
Have we heard
everybody's in favor. I have a couple comments.
Yes.
First of all, how does the Board of Adjustment tell us that we have to put in a sidewalk? I mean, who is the Board of Adjustment to tell the Board of Education that we have to put in a sidewalk?
They're responsible for rezoning and approving the subdivision. As part of that process, they do have the right to make sure certain safety regulations and so forth are met. They're saying if you want to do this and you want to have people parking and you want to have kids walking across from here to here, they're saying you have to provide it. They have
given that the subdivision is based on the idea it is a historical landmark and that they will be used as a museum, this is what they have kind of surprised
for the way. Yes, for the use that it's intended, they're saying
parking we knew about, crosswalks.
Can they come up with any more surprises?
I'm not an expert on the void act, but I find it absolutely fascinating that no one, or to the best of my knowledge, no one deemed that to be of great historical value until the Board of Education bought the land and bought the property. And then all of a sudden it became this thing of great historical value. Now, the Board of Education has spent money to mothball the roof. I don't even know what that means, but
security fencing.
All right, we're spending money for our engineer to attend Board of Adjustment meetings. We're spending a considerable amount of time for our business administrator as well as the superintendent to do whatever they need to do to get this thing rolling. And now we're told that in order to give the property away, we have to spend $18,000. I don't think we should. I don't think that's in the public interest. I don't think it's in the best interest of the children of Clinton Township. I think if it's so important and something that needs to be done, then the Historical Society should go to private individuals, should go to companies, should go to businesses, whoever, to try to raise that money to put a sidewalk in. I do not believe it should be the responsibility of the Board of Education to lay out $18,000 for a sidewalk, for something that we want to give away.
Mr. Vincoff, you're correct about the historic knowledge about the historic nature and character of this house. Nobody knew before the school board bought this property that this house was, in fact, had this significance, which turned out to be the most significant Revolutionary Era site in Huntington County. Nobody knew that it was Christopher and John Volk who lived there. And it was only because the DEP and SHPO required that of the school board at the time that they hire Hunter Research to do the research that came to light. And so that's absolutely true. As far as the other question, that was why I came here tonight. You know, because we were talking about the faulty appraisal. Now you have an appraisal that's severely outdated as well. We talked about, look, this was obviously wrong in the appraisal that was done last year, that these environmental and archaeological covenants would go away. We know they won't go away. They're carried with the land. They're on the map that was there last Monday night. Here's the outline of the archaeological. Here's the outline of the environmental. C1 stream. That C1 stream's not going away. But that was in 2009. 2010, and actually it's going to be next January, it's going to be next month, that the historic preservation easements are written. So this is a severely outdated appraisal as well. Not only do you have the covenants that run with the land that were put in place in 2006 in order to get permits to build this school, and had nothing to do with this boathouse being placed on the New Jersey Register of Historic Places, which was only happened in September of 2007. I have a timeline on my notes, which I what I would have said had I been able to give my talk the way I wanted to. But now you have historic preservation easements. Gary from New Jersey Historic Trust was here to inventory the ceilings, the architecture, the historic elements of the house. None of that is protected by the archaeological easements, which covers the ground, nor the environmental covenants that covers the ground also. Only the historic preservation easements will determine what can be done to the house and how it must be preserved by whoever owns it in the future. That will be a condition of transfer to a private party or non-profit.
Can I interrupt you to ask
yes,
a question?
Yes, please.
So it would be fair to say you would like to get possession of the house as soon as possible.
I represent the 1759 Royal Boston, right, the non-profit. That's our goal, is to take possession of the house.
To prevent further deterioration.
Yes, we would have loved to have done it years ago.
I think we're on the same page.
We're all pretty much on the same page.
We don't want the house.
Mr. Tinder is on a different page, but not in the same book.
I don't want the Board of Education to own the house.
I understand.
But I don't want to pay $18,000. I don't want Board of Education money to go for a sidewalk so that they can get the house.
I don't need it.
With regard to the point of turning the house over to the society.
It's not a society. It's a nonprofit. I don't know what Historic Society was talking about, but we are a specific nonprofit only for this purpose.
Understood. I think we do agree. We do want to turn it over to the 1759
building.
In fairness to Don, he didn't ask for the sidewalk.
Yeah.
The Board of Adjustment told us we have to put the sidewalk in. Don didn't come pitching for the sidewalk.
The Board of Adjustment told us we have to pay for it. But we have to put it in and pay for it.
I didn't ask in fairness to you.
I'm sorry.
We're in agreement. There's no disagreement that we don't want to turn the house over for the same reasons.
Yeah. The Board of Adjustment is now saying not only
Mark, he's not done.
The only issue now is we're objecting to having to pay the $18,000 for the concrete.
As well you should.
So what do? We there's no disagreement. We don't need to talk about it anymore. How do we move forward? Do we get an opinion from our attorney on the $18,000? Or do we talk about it in the committee and decide?
Yeah,
why don't we split the cost?
This is what was asked.
I left my wallet in the car.
No. Can the 1759 Society reimburse us? We'll pay for it. We'll get it off our books, give it to you, and then you'll give us
the
check.
The township attorney asked me that in the hearing, and I told him I couldn't speak to that without knowing more about the details. Now I know a little bit more about what we're talking about. And without talking to the board of the 1759 vote pass, I can't make a commitment to spend $18,000.
Can we get an opinion from our attorney on the 18 grand, whether it's a legitimate?
Well, we were represented by Walt Wilson as board attorney. He's not our regular board attorney, but in this matter, he is.
What did he say?
He was there, yeah.
What's your question? $18,000. Is it our obligation or not? That's the only point I see that there's any contention.
Can't we appeal that decision?
It's not a point of, I don't think that's a point of contention. I talked to Becky at the zoning board also today. And what you find out very clearly when you get the resolution.
Right? Which isn't ready yet.
When the township attorney writes the resolution. But he's going to write the resolution based on the vote that was taken. And that's going to spell out everything. And you can negotiate that. You can move that. You can massage that. That can take a while to get that finalized. The zoning board has to finally approve it. It's not up to you and the them. It's not up to you approving it. It's up to them approving it ultimately. But you can maybe massage the timeline or something else. Once you get that resolution, you can look at it and see how you can make the adjustments to it. But it was very clear that night. The vote could have come down, right? There were three people that voted one way. Three people that voted the other way. It wasn't enough. One of them had to change their vote from this side to that side.
Two.
So they changed it. One option was deal with it later. And the other option was make the school board pay for it now. Well, here we are.
There were three options. Deny the application, approve the application without getting involved in who does the sidewalk.
Yes.
Or approve the application, making the Board of Education pay for the sidewalk.
Guess which one they chose.
Is it worthwhile getting an opinion from VDOT? Does he have expertise in this area?
He has somebody in his office who does. As far as...
It's been another statement. It's an opinion from another attorney.
And you'll have that resolution before January 24th, which is the next zoning board meeting. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a chance to see it in the committee at least.
If VDOT doesn't have expertise in this area, Kevin is saying that there's somebody in his office that would. So we'll get an opinion.
What will the outcome be? Let's suppose that VDOT looks and says you shouldn't have to pay for it.
Will we end up? Suggestion. This is telling me, I'm sorry. I'm on the board of adjustment of the planning board right now. I'm sorry, but it's just killing me. It's part of the residential site improvement standards that there's a sidewalk. The board of adjustment of the planning board can waive that or not. That's what it comes down to. Once there's a resolution, it comes back to the planning board or the board of adjustment to memorialize it.
Yes.
It's not a negotiated thing.
Right.
They voted on it. That's the resolution. That's what the attorney prepares, brings it back to the board.
Right.
Usually there are some changes. I suggest that you get a land use attorney to talk about this. It has nothing to do with the board of education being the board of education. You're an applicant. It's a subdivision. Those are the state rules. The township has to... enforce them. You can ask for a waiver. I think maybe when the application would have asked when you applied. Every town has a checklist about what's required. If maybe somebody didn't do their homework, but they didn't just suddenly spring this on you that sidewalks were required. If you read the residential site improvement standards, it will say sidewalks are a half for subdivisions. This is a
even though this is. And I'm just asking because I don't know this. Even though this is not. A use for residential use.
And you look where it is. Of course, the Board of Adjustment is going. They have to protect the town. They are enforcing the laws of the town, the ordinances of the town, and of the state. So, of course, they're going to say. And I'm sure I haven't seen the application, but I think you're sort of going around in circles.
Yeah.
You should contact a land use attorney and resolve this. Sorry.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Okay. We'll look into it.
Could I ask that you read my comments that I didn't really understand? And the timeline helps. Page 20 tells you about this. You know the historic preservation easement has not yet been written. I think it's all pretty much there. So, do you have any other questions or can I say anything, Jim, to convince you that right here and now that? You got a paper that said what?
No. Thank you, Don.
Did I think of that? All right, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But, wow.
Hi, my name is Maria Brandt. I live in Annandale, 10 Side Mill Road. I was just listening to the comments about testing, and I don't know if it would be helpful or not as you have your discussion in a few minutes, but I do know that there are some tests that you can utilize to evaluate a wide variety of toxins that either might be in the air or in the soil. One of the most predominant ones that you can use is what they call a TO15 test. You can do that either sub-slab or in the air. And I know a lot of times when the DEP evaluates whether a particular environment, whether it be just a regular building or outside, they may take two steps in evaluating that. One is to do an air sample with the SUNY canister that evaluates TO15, which looks at volatile organic substances and other toxins as well. They'll do that for a 24-hour period in the air, and then they'll also, once that period is over, they'll seal up the cans, and then they'll do a sub-slab. So they'll drill a hole in the slab. It's not a messy one. It doesn't. You just fill it back up with concrete, and you put a SUMI canister down there and hold that there for 24 hours. Some of the rough estimates that we had learned about during our research, that would probably cost about $775 per test. So every time you put it in a particular area. Now, this is just from a few vendors, so whatever, you know, if you decide to go down that path, you know, you make plus or minus on either side, but this is just some of the information that our organization has been able to glean. And there are also, to address your very valid concerns about these fly-by-night people who just give you whatever, there are particular companies that are certified by the state to do testing, and that's on the DEP website. So you could, you know, decide who is valid to do certain types of testing as you decide if you want to do testing, what types of testing, and who is licensed by the state and approved by the state to do that. So that information is readily available. And what is encompassed in this TO15, which I don't have a list with me, but I do know that it's probably the most broad that you can do to evaluate that. As far as the dirty air is, that's not very expensive from the information we have. You just go around almost with, I'll call it a Geiger counter, but I'm not a professional, so I don't really know what it's called, but they evaluate the electricity in the air, either coming from electrical rooms or computer rooms where you're housing this type of equipment. You also go near units on the wall, what do they call it?
Outlets,
thank you. Outlets on the wall, I'll assess that as well. So I do know from information we have that that's not available. I didn't know if that would be helpful as you talked about that a little bit later. I also just have one quick question for Mr. Carroll. On a couple of occasions, I know we've been on conference calls together regarding PMG, you had mentioned that you have a letter from the state recommending RK, Occupational Environmental. And I know Mr. Dinkoff, you were on one of those calls as well. We were just trying to find out who they were and how they had gotten involved. And you committed to getting that letter to me. I've left you a couple of voicemails, haven't gotten a letter yet. I've also written you an email, have not received it.
I apologize for that, Maria.
And I was just curious if we could...
Last time we talked, I said, wasn't it posted on our website? And you said, no.
I did not see it at that time, but okay. I know if it is on there, then I absolutely apologize.
I apologize too, because I thought that was the answer, because I had asked for it to be posted, but I will... I want to make sure I send it to you right now.
Okay, great.
Because I have it on here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? I asked how long the audit report was going to be.
The auditor just came.
The auditor came in a few minutes ago, and if the audit report is not that long, I wanted to do it before we open it up for discussion on the additional test. Were you able to hear me? Mr. Colin Tano is our the district's auditor. Did you want to address the board at this time?
Why don't you just continue the meeting and I'll wait.
discussion with the board on the young lady's concerns about additional testing at Patrick and Darren. You know, my understanding, and please help me, correct me if I'm wrong, we brought in the county health department, we brought in the state health department. They looked at the information that had been provided, thanks in large part to the work of the Clinton Township Education Association. And based primarily upon that information, their finding was that additional testing was not required or not necessary.
They found no correlation to the possibility of a cancer cluster at Patrick McGarren. That was followed up by a health and safety audit of Piosh from the Department of Health and Department of Labor. Two research scientists did an on-site visit and survey. And thanks again to our staff. The three areas that they asked us to remediate were done within the month. Two were paperwork procedures that we needed to tighten up. One was a tile that had water stains that possibly could have had dry mold on it. There was no more water intrusion seen there. And we have follow-up letters that are on our website saying that those cases are closed. What I do know is that the Cancer Epidemiology Services team is doing a comprehensive analysis of Clinton Township and childhood cancers, and they have not gotten back to the health department, the county health department, on a completion of that analysis. So to that end, the only thing, as you see, is the RFP that is here on our board this evening under correspondence. We're looking for an RFP audit on environment. An RFP on an environmental audit.
What's an RFP?
Request for proposal for people to give us basically bids to say what they would expect to do for us in the way of ensuring an environmental audit. We have certain specifications that we're looking for.
Based upon the information that was provided to the county and the state, did either of those two agencies suggest or recommend that we do additional testing?
No.
No. But there's still a concern on the part of some of our parents,
yes,
community members, as well as teachers, that additional testing should be done.
Correct. And we have put out there to ask for any information. There was some concerns about certain things that were tested in our water. 23 years of quarterly reports show that there was no problems, but there were some information that was asked. Could we test for certain other items? We did so and have posted that as well on our website, showing that there was...
What did GARCO do, GARCO research?
That was the water, the additional water testing that went beyond
the baseline testing.
Correct.
That was done by our own environmental company.
Correct. No, the GARCO is, we don't do, our environmental is done by GARCO, all our water.
GARCO is the conduit for our water testing. The testing itself is done by QC Labs.
Thank you.
Okay, well, GARCO.
They're always water treatment plant operator, so they're kind of managing. So when we said we wanted to do anything, and I can tell you that if they said, well, you can do this, but it doesn't make any sense, we said do it.
That's to GARCO, and then they work through QC Labs to do the actual testing.
QC does the actual testing.
So how often do we test the water? Every month, or who, you said quarterly?
Yeah, it's four times a year.
Okay.
And different tests are different things. I think we do lead like once a year.
But in addition to that, we did additional testing for water?
Yes.
With same company, different company?
QC Labs is the same one that I GARCO works with. GARCO is the one who takes care of our wastewater management treatment on site at Round Valley and Patrick McGarren. So they take the samples and send it out to QC Labs.
All right.
So we're required to do water testing annually, regardless.
For the last 23 years, yes.
Absolutely.
And the county health department went back and looked through those, and at no time did they see any anomaly that said that there was something wrong with the water.
Okay.
So the county and the state are telling us that no additional, based upon the information that they have.
There, as from the county and state, they've said, and I've stated here, there are thousands of things we can be tested for. But until you know what you're looking for, meaning what is the actual effect, and the one that was concerned that was brought up was the number of cancer cases of staff members who at one time or another had worked in Patrick McGarrett.
Right.
And that's what initiated the whole investigation.
So your recommendation to the board was that we do not have to do additional testing?
As we see right now, if anything else is coming in, and again, bringing in Piashman's the other way to see what kind of health and safety audit would they suggest. And they looked at what we currently do and felt that there were only those three items to remediate.
Okay.
And if somebody
we are, as I again state, we are asking for someone to come in now that we've closed up the building with the heat on, as the input we got from Piosha and other research scientists said, you know, you can't test the air quality or anything else going on in your building until you figure out, the airflow that's going on in your building, the pressure of your building, whether or not you have pathways into your building from the soil, the water, or the air, and including when you test for radon, you have to make sure that your house, your building is closed up. So that's what we're waiting for, and that's why you see that RFP request out now.
We have board members that have children at Patrick McGarrett.
I do.
Comments, questions, concerns?
So if somebody comes up with something that they would like us to test for and makes a good case for it, we will test?
I've been calling the health department,
mm-hmm.
Shared with them the things that we were testing for in the water,
mm-hmm.
and they said, yes, it's beyond the scope, but if the district feels it's necessary, that we have. In this case, you know, with the RFP, one of the things that we know that we're looking for is what they call a phase one audit to see the pressure of the building, whether or not there are pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you realize them, you try to see what you can test for.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't know what the overall effect has been. What are people either through the environment or the occupation being there, working with certain chemicals, is causing certain health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that there's been some discussion about the number of children who show asthmatic type of symptoms. So we're going to, once we close up the building, and look at whether or not we have a positive or negative airflow in the building, see if there are other things that we can be testing for,
mm-hmm.
that could possibly say that there's a higher case. Again, that is anecdotal. We're pulling the records to see about following cohorts to see how many illness days children are presenting across years from Spruce Run, Patrick McGarrett, into the Round Valley School.
So on that testing, you know, you're talking about closing up the building to do the air quality testing. When would we want to do that? Or is that part of the RFP process?
We would try to look to do that either on a weekend or a long weekend so that to ensure that they have the time frame that they need. Mrs. Grant talked about 24 hours at least. We would like to give them some time with the building. We were hoping to get somebody in over the break, but we're not going to make that time frame. We do have another long weekend coming up in January and then again in February.
And who is advising us on what testing to do? Is it RK? Is it the County Health Department?
The RFP itself.
If I can answer, what I did was I took the ideas that RK had put in an email to me, but then I expanded and said, I'm going to paraphrase here, if you have a better idea, tell us what it is, put
on
my mouth to
assess.
It, on how to, right.
So
exactly.
That's where the phase one, phase two assessment came.
Right, right. So I left it open. I kind of steered them in the right direction, but I want to hear if other people have better ideas. And the reason
being
that...
people who would respond, do you have a better...
Exactly. And I asked them to state their idea, which is why it really can't be a bid, because the bid parameters are much more...
Specific,
thank you.
Do you have any particular test that you feel strongly should be done at Patrick McGarrett?
I feel strongly that I need a second opinion. If I had breast cancer, I would go to the vest to start out, and they would tell me the American Medical Association says that this is the way we should do it, and this is how we're doing it, you're in good hands, and then I would go for a second opinion. Anyway, and because this is the lives of my children.
You know, I don't even know if I would do this for myself, if I would be taking my night to be here. But it's for my kids. You know, I need a second opinion.
So if we said yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, what would you do?
I would start doing a lot of research. I would first research the testing bodies and find the best few that I could and call them and give them the situation. I would keep going until I felt satisfied with what I needed, and then I would present it to you.
So you're not saying necessarily that you want to do new tests. You might want the old test done over again.
Yeah, and new ones, other ones, additional ones.
You're not saying you want to know what tests you want to do. You're saying you want to go find new experts to recommend what they think should be done.
I think that would be a good idea, yeah.
So, Pat, that phase one environment, phase one indoor and phase one outdoor, that terminology came from RK?
It did.
Which was recognized by the county and state.
As a common environmental assessment for baseline environmental testing,
yes.
Indoor, outdoor.
And by going out with an RFP, maybe we'll learn more. Maybe other people have better ideas. That's why I put that caveat in there.
The only thing, and moving forward, I would advise the board to get a legal advice, given some of the parameters that Lisa is asking, if the board is interested in accepting her offer.
I agree.
And whether or not it's tied to that.
How much are you willing to spend? All right. Isn't that an appropriate question?
I think I'd have to talk to the people who do these tests, who are good at what they do, and find out how they would advise me.
Have you read the findings of the county and the state? Have they been posted online?
Yes, sir.
I have, but I got to tell you, I have experience with big groups and government and things like that. I don't, you know, people are usually well-intentioned, but, you know, people are wrong sometimes. And I just need a few opinions to feel like I have the answers I need.
If I may, Superintendent, you had brought up a point a few minutes ago regarding the statement from the county and the state of not doing further testing is because we don't know what we're testing for. We don't know what the outcome is to look for cause of that outcome. Has there been additional research to find out whether specifically in Patrick McGarren, the surrounding area around Patrick McGarren, or even in Clinton Township, are there other medical concerns or not that we would want to then further test for? For example, you were saying with the asthma. I know there's in the general population, there's an increase in children with allergies. Has research been done to that level to find out, is there more than the original cancer concern that we need to look to see, is there anything really going on?
That is a good question, Nicole. I think that's something that you'd have to put towards the health department. They would be the ones who would have any kind of information.
Because I think that might help find out what to test for. I don't know who would be, you know, in charge of doing that, but that might be a way to just start knowing what the test was to find out what areas do we have problems.
That would be a problem. I will definitely have a list of what to test for.
A couple of things. As I read the report, as I recall, the report indicated that one of the specific problems was that the cancers that were found were, in general, not known to be caused by environmental factors. That was one reason why it's hard to come up with testing. For example, breast cancer was one of the prime issues. And obviously medicine doesn't know everything, but the belief is that it's primarily a genetic issue and not an environmental issue. I believe the report mentioned that. So that's one of the reasons I think it was very difficult to know what to test for, because these cancers didn't appear to be caused by environmental factors. So that makes it really hard. Now we're just kind of taking a shot in the dark. I mean,
I can give you so many things I've read that refute that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was the report.
There was just an article published about 2.5 weeks ago showing correlation between breast cancer and environment. In fact, I'm going to try to get that off to YouTube, but I don't know if you guys know that, but it's just a recent article that was published that is starting to be circulated around the world of epidemiology.
One thing I would just want to say generally is none of us are environmental scientists either, so when the issue came up, we were looking to the county health department initially for guidance.
Right.
You know, I thought I probably would in my own home if I had an environmental issue.
Just a quick point to that, though. They will only test for that which they legally force you to remediate. And so there's very limited scope that they can, you know, force you to have to correct if something came up.
Okay. It's a good point, but just to summarize from our perspective, we go to the health department for guidance, and then they put us on to the state camps epidemiology. They did their thing. That's why it's timing. First, the health department did their thing, then the state did their thing, then it came back to the health department, then we did some additional testing, then we brought in PIOSH, and we're listening along the way. What are these people saying? So that's where we're at today, is following the guidance of those bodies.
The experts, yeah.
Yeah, purposeful reason not to do testing. We're just trying to be prudent and listening to the officials within the county, within the state. What do you think we should do? And that's where we're at today. Is their feedback, which is available for everyone to see, is we don't see any reason to do further testing.
Well, and it also seems unlikely that the state or the county would have any stake in keeping our school open if there really was some major issue that they knew about. Right. In my opinion, the state is more likely to rush to close something that they think has even a slight chance of having an issue, especially since they're being brought in as our expert. I just keep going back to that. They're the experts, and you know, you hear about the Board of Health and you know the state closing things down for many reasons, for many minor reasons. So it seems unlikely that they would have any stake in keeping a school open that they thought had any chance of having an issue.
So the health department came to a meeting a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They said they would not close the school now, and when our organization talked to the state,
environmental research scientist on hand along with an occupational research scientist. They did individual, the one gentleman doing air testing in the room, more in the idea of the air freshness, whether or not we're cycling in enough outdoor air, 20%, so that it makes up for children and staff being in the room. So it was more about the oxygen level, the carbon dioxide level, and things of that sort.
Right, which is interesting because it was done on an 83 day when it was open to state recognizes.
That's not what the report said. But the reports can be critiqued, but I'm just trying to get perspective of the process we're following, is that those were the steps, and there's a lot of criticism of their findings. And now we're here talking about doing testing outside of what all the officials have recommended. That's where we're at right now. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Right. So what do we want to do? So the RFP, I mean, personally, I think it would be prudent to do the phase one indoor, outdoor, as outlined in the RFP.
Well, that's what we're doing,
yeah,
right?
Put it out to bid.
Okay.
I think it would be better to do it that way and let firms respond. If somebody had a firm in particular that they felt strongly about, they could certainly respond. I would be less likely to recommend following specific testing made by individuals saying, I want you to do this test, I want you to do that test. I would be less inclined to recommend that. I'd be more inclined to recommend a baseline phase one indoor outdoor and see what happens. See how that, see what that points to, or if it points to anything.
You know, from if I'm understanding you right, because you're involved with the school and schools have to follow a certain protocol, I think you're saying, right? That's what you're doing to be prudent. I have, if you want to call it the luxury of not having to do that, like you wouldn't have to do it at your own house, you know. So that's part of what I'm saying. As a parent, as somebody, you know, hey, why can't we just do this test? You know, it would at least put my mind at ease. It would probably put a lot of, you know, I hear people talk to. I don't know whether too many people are vocal about it, I'm not sure. But it would certainly put my mind at ease, and I'll pay for it, and I will work with you in choosing this. You know, I'm not looking to cause any political problems for you. I'm just looking to not have a pit in my stomach when I send my kids to school.
Kevin?
Well, why would, if we have the indoor-outdoor baseline evaluation done, why wouldn't that quell your pit in your stomach?
Well, you know, I doubt that that would. Maybe it would. After you gave, as I've said before so many times, after you said, okay, yes, you can pay for this testing, I would spend my time, I'm busy like everybody else, you know, researching that and finding out what that would mean for me. It's like, you know, you're not going to buy, you're not going to research a car if there's no reason to do that because you don't have the money to buy it or you're not going to be able to buy it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? Because I hear you saying this over and over again.
I do. We have a company coming. We will have a company. We're going to take bids from outside valid companies that do this. Mm-hmm. So there are independent entities that are going to come here and bid, and they're going to do their evaluation of the indoor and the outdoor. Mm-hmm. So it seems like we are going to have further testing though. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, maybe you will, and I'm wondering if I can have another opinion, or at least look at that and say, all right, well, can I pay for this? You know, again, you're asking me to leave this in your hands. That's what you're asking for. Leave it in our hands, it'll be fine.
We're speaking about it openly, about, you know, well, soliciting feedback on what type of testing to do, and mm-hmm. who do we use, and does anyone have recommendations, and this is the format. In the meeting or outside the meeting to give the
so
feedback.
So you're giving me the okay, and I'll get you all the information?
No, that's not what I'm saying. So okay. Asking for feedback.
You're asking for the information before you give me the okay.
Asking for your input as we make a decision of how to proceed. That's what we're at right now.
I don't have these details for you because I haven't called anyone, because why would I?
I understand, but a lot of people have been doing that level of research and have been giving input, which is partially where we're at today.
Okay.
We're looking to do these types of assessments based on the public's feedback.
So you're saying I should just trust you and what you decide? Is that, I mean, what are you asking me? I'm not sure.
I'm telling you where we're at now. We got to.
Excuse me? You didn't say that.
What is he saying?
I can tell you.
Because I thought you were trying to.
We're telling you, and we're asking for feedback in this open format of this is where we are, this is how we think we should proceed, and we're asking for everyone's input, including yours. Mm-hmm. And where we think we're landing at right now is we're going to put out the RFP and do the indoor air quality assessment, the outdoor environmental assessment by a state licensed vendor, and we're going to see where that points us. Mm-hmm. If someone has other recommendations, well, please, you know, tell us. But I don't think we're probably in the position to say, yes, we'll accept the donation, and then you would come in and at a point later in time come up with a specific test.
Why?
It's just recommended.
Why?
I mean, it's an unknown.
What do you mean it's an unknown?
It's an unknown. That's no information other than the donation, which is very generous.
So you're afraid of the test, or what is it that you feel threatened by? Or
where we're at now, after pulling in the state and the county, and now we're going beyond that, putting out an RFP for indoor-outdoor environmental testing. Mm-hmm. That, to me, seems to be an appropriate next step.
To you?
To me.
Right.
That's right.
I understand. So can I then pay for more if it's not appropriate for me?
I think we need more.
Kevin, this goes back to the sidebar that I was having. Listening, Curtis, because you were mentioning, I'll mention this out. It's a little off the wall, but and maybe it's inappropriate. Is there any reason we can't let an individual come in with a specific contractor and collect water samples and test on their own? I'm with Kevin on this step. I think we should follow the protocol. My difficulty is that anybody can walk in school anytime and say, my kid has a cold a lot. I think there's something wrong. I want you to test for this. And I understand this is a much more serious matter than that. Mm-hmm. But we as a board have to rely on experts. And with all due respect, you and none of us are experts in this matter. So I'm not comfortable with any individuals coming in and saying, you should do this test, you should do this test, you should do this test. We have to rely on experts to do that. We have to discuss it with the board. If you want to hire a water company and come in with the, you know, and go around the school and collect samples with a reputable company and share the results with us, maybe that's a possibility. Maybe there are issues with that, legal issues. I don't know.
My only concern, really, Mark, is anything over $500, the board has to approve that donation. Anything under that.
I'm talking about a donation.
What I'm hearing, though, this is a donation with provisos, and I've seen that before. You can all use it for a certain aspect. We get a safety grant every year.
I'm not talking about a donation. Money doesn't pass through our hands. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that we allow a citizen to come into the school with a reputable company, with a bunch of jars, whatever they do, and collect water and test the water.
It is out of the box, sir. I would, again, advise the board to get legal.
Yes, there may be legal issues, of course.
But it could be a different way to go.
Right, and then we're out of the picture. I have concerns with that, too, frankly. The issue is I don't know who the water testing company is. I don't want all of a sudden to read on the web tomorrow that so-and-so, Joe Schmo's Acme Water Company says, you know, the water's full of this, without us having the ability to go look at the test and bring it to our own experts and validate it. So there are concerns with this. But it might be one possibility and out-of-box way to handle it. But I'm with Kevin in that I think the board has to follow protocol. You know, you can walk over to Round Valley with a jar any day and dip it in and take a sample and go to a lab and have it tested. Nobody's going to stop you. So if somebody wants to come to the school maybe and collect water.
Well, there's proper methodology for water testing, too.
Well, of course. I'm not literally suggesting somebody walks in with a bottle. You'd have to come in with a company who collects it appropriately.
Yeah.
Somebody in the school would have to take it from the right place. Water has to be run. It has to be run out of the right pipes. It has to be aerated for a certain amount of time. There's a whole procedure to testing water
appropriately.
Of course. I'm not suggesting literally that somebody walk in with a bottle. But my point is that perhaps they can do it privately. With some provisos that, yes, we want to see the results, and if there is an issue, we want to be able to validate that and go to one of our agencies and make sure that, you know, this is a valid test. Because I've had my water tested in the home, too, 5 times. You know what? Every time, I needed a new water system. It's amazing. It's amazing how that works. Now, I'm not suggesting that the companies we hire will do that, but we have to consider that possibility. You know, I don't know who the company is or what they're going to be suggesting and you know, whatever business they have on the side. So we need to be careful about that.
So what are you suggesting?
We look into the legal. There may be legal issues with this. This is why I had this as a sidebar, Curtis, by the way, because I was concerned about the legal issues. I didn't want to bring this up publicly until we had an option to check into this. Is this a valid proposal to do this?
You know, I
should you bring that up, sir. Perhaps that's a valid thing for you to discuss. But then if you list that as a topic on your executive sessions, reporters in the public know. They talked about that, and that's something I can follow up on.
Right.
What was the outcome of that discussion?
It's a valid point.
If you have a conversation in the corner of the room in front of us, we don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
And while we're having this conversation, if you poll the members of the school board using email and have them essentially make a decision, which was to not accept the donation, we don't know that you've made that decision or taken that action. None of us, except a few people involved, know to ask any questions or comment.
Right. That's a valid point.
That's why I raised it.
Yeah, a valid point. I concur.
Okay, I will talk to Mr. Gagliardi about that.
Yeah, we do need to look at the legal.
I may have to follow up with you, Mark, tomorrow regarding.
If I could just put in 2 cents here, I really would love to hear a proposal and then follow the proper channel for approval, because I could think of a lot of ways this could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could come in and say, I've got an education consultant who wants to sit in on all the teachers and make sure they're teaching properly with the proper techniques. And where do we say no? You know,
that's where you say no.
Well, there are a lot of we don't even know what we're saying yes to. If you came to us with a proposal that we could say, oh, that makes sense, you know, have at it, you know, and thank you for the donation, then I would feel comfortable. But to just, you know, to say, come in with whatever expert you've come up with and, you know, here's the keys to the school and do what you need to do, I don't feel comfortable with that.
I don't even know where that came from. First of all, I love an out-of-the-box idea, though even I feel a little uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
part of me that said that I want keys to the school or an expert. I wanted to talk to you about different experts.
Yeah.
Because I don't even want to be responsible for this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I will fund it.
Well, that's different from what I heard in the beginning. I thought in the beginning you said that you wanted control over it.
Well, control relative to no control. I want control over the freedom and the opportunity to test more and not have it be about what makes sense to you. Because that's what I hear you saying is, well, if something makes sense to me, this wouldn't, it's not about what makes sense to you for me. It's about what makes sense to me.
But
see, I don't even know, you know,
but that
who you are.
That brings us, though, to that slippery slope again. Because this goes back to the democratic society. We're the governing body for the school. So we make the decisions of the school district. So if everyone gets to come here and say, well, you know what, I feel uncomfortable, like Donna said, about some educational program, or I feel uncomfortable because my child's getting structure, it seems to me, way too often, I think something is not quite right. So that there's a lot of somebodies out there, and I just feel like we could be getting into a big slippery slope of people that feel uncomfortable.
I think that if you needed, for me, I'm projecting onto you the dangers. I would feel a little threatened by making that statement because my idea now is, hey, if you, this isn't just me, if you want me to collect a big, big, mass of people, I can and I will. And then I think that's a pretty slippery slope. With me, I'm just one person. I'm just one person who's, you know, really concerned. But I can get a group for you who will say the same thing that I'm saying, a big group.
Lisa, can we have a special meeting coming up on January 10th. Would the board be inclined to add this as a possible item, and then, if so, take action on it as it's stated that there might be action taken?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's get advice. Let's get legal advice. Let's see what we can do. It doesn't hurt to find out. It doesn't hurt to inquire and see what kind of parameters are there.
And just for the record, it's our job to make sure that the school is safe and that the investigation is done by a qualified and unbiased body. And the donation is appreciated, but from my perspective, it has no bearing on what additional testing we would do. I'm not looking at it as a matter of, you know, we won't do it because the money's not there to do it. It's what's prudent based on the advice we've received.
From the state, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't want the public to think that we would only do the testing if somebody made a donation. That's not the case. We're just going through the process, we're listening to the state and the county bodies and the public, and we're looking to move forward. And it's not because you've offered to make the donation, it's because this is where we're at in the process. So it's always appreciated, but it's not linked, in my opinion.
I understand that. And just the way you pace that, we're going through the process, and I understand how you have to go through the process. A second opinion, you know, we're there. You know, we don't have to go through the process for a second opinion. Well, that's the advantage in my opinion.
The phase one, phase two testing is a second opinion.
Based on the state.
No,
the
school board going out, putting out an RFP for environmental testing, it's a second opinion. After we received the recommendations from PIOSH, Cancer Epidemiology, and Department of Health.
So how do we leave it from PAS?
We should put it on the agenda.
It's going to be on the agenda for our January 10th meeting.
Okay, so, and that's something like this, a meeting like this?
Yes.
Public session.
There will be a public session.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The order, public order of the district.
Thank you. just get you cut right quick. You're required to have an annual audit. I've been here before, made my little presentations and whatnot. And the most important thing you have to be aware of, whether or not I make a recommendation or a suggestion, there are no recommendations. Business office is being run real well. I'm very happy with it. There was nothing that we came across that required a recommendation. The recommendation would mean that you would have to have an action plan. We didn't find anything of that nature that would require that. There are things in the book, it's 100 and some pages, that I think you as board members should be aware of as far as where you stand financially. The meeting I left earlier tonight, we spent most of it not on the audit, but what's happening in the future as far as your 2% income tax, real estate tax, that's going to be allowed. That was the big discussion then. But I think, if you bear with me, the audit report, again, has a lot of information in it. There's one exhibit, it's the B2 exhibit for those people who have their audits with them. But my handout takes that B2 exhibit and compares it to last year. And I think it's very meaningful looking at some of the numbers on this particular page. One of the items that the report does not allow for is a comparison of one year to the next in the fashion that I'm showing you here. I'm showing you where your money came from in 2010 and where it went, and I'm comparing it to last year. Some things that are highlighted, your tax levy is broken into two components. The general, which is the operations of the district, and the debt service. For the year under review, the audit, you had the 2% that the governor wants, but that was last year. The year you're working under right now has considerably more than that. So I guess I'm going to warn you, it's going to be extremely difficult to operate with the 2% tax increases that are being allowed. Looking at this particular piece of paper and what happened last year, and a lot of it happened by surprise. If you look at the amount of money that the state of New Jersey gave you last year, it's actually less than the preceding year. I'm assuming that's going to continue with the hardships that the state is facing. You're going to be getting less and less money. You're considered a wealthy district, so you're not going to get what you were used to get. So that's going to be a burden on the taxpayers. I don't think there's any relief in the 2% increase in real estate taxes that are being allowed because of reduction in state aid. The blame is just going to be put on you. A lot of things you did last year, if you look at the expenditures, there are a lot of reductions, a lot of nominal increases. Some of the things that you had difficulty with last year, basically things out of your control, were the special needs tuition and related transportation costs. That accounted for almost $190,000 more than you did in the preceding year. As far as the instructional area, you had a reduction of 2%. And one item that stood out last year, because of some of your reductions, you had a huge increase in unemployment costs, roughly $130,000 more than the preceding year. So when you do certain things, it's like the domino impact. You're going to have a cut in workforce, but thereafter you're going to have an increase in unemployment costs and things of that nature because of the way you have to fund the unemployment. As far as surplus, there's a note to the financial statements, number 13 on page 46. This is a two-year analysis of your fund balance. And the second page of my handout is a five-year analysis of fund balance. We have to remember that our budget in Clinton Township is about $25 million, $24.5 million. So some of the numbers that are showing on surplus seems extremely high. But we have to remember, again, we have a budget of about $25 million. So a surplus that's allowed of 2% is very, very difficult. I think I might have said it here in prior years. It's like earning $100,000 and having a $2,000 savings account. Very, very precarious position to be in. And it's now more dramatic because what's happening with the, again, the 2% income real estate tax increase that's allowed, and the difficulty, the way you build surplus usually is when you don't spend appropriations, but the tighter and tighter it becomes, you're going to have less surplus to build. And what's going to happen this year, we put in about $560,000 into the 2010-11 budget, which is a tax savings. Again, it's a lot of money, but when it comes down to the individual taxpayer, it's only 2.2 cents because of the huge assessed values in Clinton Township, which equates to, that would be $22 on a $100,000 home that the person is saving. Well, let's make it a $500,000 home, so that's $510 that that particular homeowner is saving. I'm sorry. It's $110 of the individual homeowners saving for you to give up $500,000. So it's a balancing thing. What's going to happen in the future, you're going to be forced to put more in order to balance your budgets, or as an offset, there are going to be less appropriations you're allowed to put into the budget, which is going to impact your educational process. It's going to be a very, very difficult situation in the next couple of years. I'm reflecting you have a free surplus of about $670,000, which again sounds like an awful lot of money, but not based on your present budget of $24.5 million. I remember when I first started in practice, the free balance that was hoped for or projected was 2 months' worth of salary. Then they dropped it to 6%, then they dropped it down 2.5% to 2%. So they're giving you less and less room for maneuvering. And what's happening to all districts is the only choice they have is to reduce expenditures because it's going to be difficult to maintain the tax levy at 2% that's being allowed. As far as what's happened here in the last 10 years, if you care, there's an exhibit, the J4 audit exhibit, which is in the very back of the book. It's going to be on page 86. But the handout has taken out the middle 8 years where I wanted to compare what's happened here over the last 10 years. And some of the things that you have very little control of, if you look at the bottom of my worksheet, the special education costs, again, have gone up considerably over that 10-year period of time. It should be the third page of my handout. It's the second number up from the bottom. Again, one of the difficulties you as board members have is those areas where you can keep control. Special education is one of the items you have very little control over. And along with it, I'm showing both the special education cost and the associated transportation cost that are involved, which is a very high cost. That's been a problem here. It's very, very difficult to control. As far as items that you've been able to control, if you look at the instructional area, for expenditures of about 28% increase over that period of time, which is very positive. One item you've had a very difficult time controlling is the employee benefits, which is common throughout the state of New Jersey. As far as revenues, the tax increase in Clinton Township, even though I'm not a taxpayer in Clinton Township, at 65% is not that far out of whack compared to the other communities that I represent. an average of about 6.5% a year. But as far as where you've had control, it looks like a good effort is being put in. And we have to remember also, 10 years ago, we didn't have the additional school. So that impacts not only the instructional area, but also the maintenance areas. So a lot of those things were impacted by that. And there's a chart in the book, if you wanted to look at it here, the fact it's one of the J exhibits. It compares the number of students in the three schools before the fourth school was built and how crowded you were, because they did have formulas that identified the number of students that were allowed, basically, and the number of kids that were actually in here. I guess, again, in conclusion, there are no recommendations, so I've been very happy about that. And I think a lot of the information in the book shows that you are making an effort to keep things under control, but it's going to be really difficult in the future. Did I create any questions? I try to keep it brief.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In that J4 exhibit?
Yeah.
Near the top of the exhibit under support services, that category of instruction and then it's bracketed tuition?
Yes.
What is that?
That's out of district tuition. That was one of the items that I identified as being. Now, the reason that number does not correspond to the number on the bottom, the number at the bottom includes both the tuition for out of district students that are paid not only with your operating budget, but with also your grant budgets. And also I've added tuition costs that give you a truer picture of what the actual cost is. So the true number is the one at the bottom of the page, the one at the top where it says instruction. That's in the Clinton Township operating budget only.
Thank you.
Another item that's unique to Clinton Township, I know there's been some discussion about the reduction in student enrollment. And there was a reduction of about 2.65% over that 10-year period of time. In the middle of the expenditure category, under transportation, there's an item that says aid in lieu. That's money that Clinton Township was paying for those students to be transported basically to their other schools, which tells me most of the students that we lost have stayed in Clinton, but not here. And I'm showing also, even though we've lost about 3% of our students in the last 10 years, since 1993, we do have like a 30% increase in enrollment. It really leveled off in the last 10 years, but not just Clinton Township, most of the other communities in the county.
The aid in lieu?
Yeah.
You're suggesting that since there was an increase in the aid in lieu, that might be due to the fact that the enrollment might be the same, but more students are going out of the district, like to a
private A little bit of sarcasm, I guess. Most of the kids stayed in Clinton Township, but they went to the Catholic school, which I don't think has been open 10 years. But the increase in the R out-of-pocket cost for transportation of those students has increased over 100% over that 10-year period of time. So even though we're showing a reduction in student population, it's not because of people moving down. It's primarily because they've now moved on to the Catholic school as opposed to staying here.
Has the amount of money parents are giving for the children increased?
Not to that degree. It's been a nominal increase over that 10-year period of time.
Is it possible, though, that, Bill, in the past, they went to a private school that was more than 20 miles away, and then they didn't get aid in the... Before Immaculate Conception was here...
They were going to Somerville, probably, if they could never...
I don't know if that's more than 20 miles away, and therefore they wouldn't get aid in lieu. I don't know the mileage.
But could it be flow through?
It's about 18. It's close to 20.
Could it be flow through money that we pay out?
No, Aiden Little is clearly Aiden Little. It's the 884 that we've discussed in the past.
Yes, the reimbursement to the parents. Yeah.
It's not beyond 20. Just about 20.
So depending on where they live, if they live west side of Clinton and they're going to Somerville, plus I would imagine that just the location of a Catholic school in town.
It may have been the old school with Immaculata.
Excuse me?
You go to Somerville, it may have been just the hassle factor, even if it's within 20 less people participated. Now that it's a more convenient choice, you may get a better take rate over at Immaculata.
What was the increase over 10 years, which we wouldn't know, and how much was paid out?
Well, it says it right here. The increase was 71.5.
Well, we also have that other Christian school. Does that factor into here, too?
Which one is that, Donna?
The
Crossroads Christian.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say the majority of our Aiden Low is the Immaculate Conception.
We take heat pretty much every year for our surplus at the end of the year, in particular our generated surplus. For example, this year we generated about 560,000. Right? We had an excess of 73. We had already appropriated 194. Now, to me, on a $26 million budget, that doesn't seem unreasonable, considering that you're trying to budget almost 18 months in advance. Based on other districts, are these numbers in line? Is this reasonable to have a surplus like this at the end of the year? Is this exceptionally large, small?
I don't think it's exceptionally large at all. You have to look at some of the components of the surplus that we have. Again, a $24.5 million budget to have open purchase orders of $72,000 is really low. We have four buildings and we have a capital reserve of $179,000, which may not be adequate. Maintenance reserve of $50,000, which we've had for the last 2 years. Again, with four schools, and one of them is relatively old, if I remember. Was it
Spruce Mountain Grand, 1955.
Excuse me. The excess that we have. We have no excess surplus this year. Last year we had $73,000 in excess surplus. What's going to happen, we're not going to be able to generate in the future as much surplus as we have, particularly when we're giving back $500,000 a year, which is a good thing for the taxpayers, but it could be harmful to the educational process. And again, with the 2% allowed increase, it's going to be difficult to meet, and you're going to be forced to be putting surplus in anyway. And I don't think you're going to be able to generate as much as you had in the past. Even some of our revenue items are down this year, outside tuition from the individuals. That went down about $40,000. Interest income is basically non-existent today.
Actually, we were just told from our bank that come February 1st, we're not going to get interest until the LIBOR hits 51 basis points. We're going to be LIBOR minus 50. So we're really, and in addition, some of the services which they have financially supported as of February 1st will no longer be supported.
This is like a repeat of my conversation earlier tonight. It's happening. The banks aren't just working with us anymore. They're being forced into situations where it's going to be expensive for them to do business with municipalities and school districts. I guess the GUPTA requirements are much heavier now. The GUPTA is the insurance that the banks put on securing our money at 100% safe.
Are we in the same boat as everybody else, as the other clients you have? I mean, are we tighter? Is our budget, in more dire straits than some of the other districts that you work with, or are we pretty much the same as everybody else?
Just looking at expenditures, I'm seeing a lot of decreases here that I don't necessarily see some of the other districts. It looks like you're being forced into situations earlier than it may have been as far as keeping things under control, as far as expenditures. Just looking at your increase last year in real estate taxes, last year at 2% increase, most of the other districts went to the max that was allowed at 4%. But it looks like, again, some of the things that occur here happened maybe a year early, and right now the other schools are being forced into the cuts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it, you know, you're maintaining your surplus right now, but I'm really, I'm anxious about it. I don't think it's going to be able to be continued. If you remember discussions in prior years, the only way you can build a surplus is if you receive excess revenues, which is not happening, or if you don't spend your appropriations. Now, the tighter your appropriations become, you have less to lapse because your budget has to be balanced. You have to have a revenue week in your appropriations. So your revenues are guaranteed as far as what you're projecting, and 90% of your revenue is taxation anyway, so you're guaranteed that. But your budgets are becoming tighter, which means you're going to be spending as much as the budget that you do budget for. Anything that wasn't budgeted, would have wasn't expended, would have gone into surplus. But that's becoming narrower and narrower. So that combined with the fact that you may have to put surplus into the budget in order to meet your 2% real estate tax increase, and it's just going to decrease the surpluses. You've got a couple of tough years coming up in there.
And that's even if we pass the budget. We have to tell
them. Yeah, another problem.
Yeah.
Every year is tough.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Any other items that need to be brought up before the board? I'll entertain a motion that we go into executive session.
Second.
So moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Action will not be taken.
Coming out of executive session.